I'm going to read from the book of Romans, chapter 16, from verse 21. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Well, if I were to say to you who wrote the book of Romans, you would all quite accurately say the Apostle Paul. If I were being pedantic, I would say it was Tertius who wrote it. Tertius was a scribe, and how Roman men dictated letters would involve them pacing up and down, while the scribe would sometimes sit on the floor with a scroll on his knees, writing down as quickly as he could. Whether he was a professional, I think he probably was to cope with the Apostle Paul's output, but whether he was a professional, we don't know. So Tertius technically wrote it, but of course he faithfully recorded what Paul was saying to him. If you've read the book of Romans recently, it was part of our Thursday evening Bible study not very long back, you will agree it is an incredibly deep and rich piece of writing, a grand theological explanation to the gospel, its background, its outworking, and our future. Whether Tertius understood it all, I'm not so sure. Whether he dared interrupt the apostle and say, what exactly do you mean by that? Or do you think people in years to come will think the following? I very much doubt. Paul is dictating. I think he would be pacing up and down. I think the volume would rise and fall. His excitement about the gospel can be detected in the way it has been written. And if Tertius were a professional scribe, I think his professional skills would have been put to the test. And yet, God used his work, the mind and the speech of the great apostle, and the hand and the pen of Tertius. Apart from what we have here in verse 22, we know nothing about him. I don't think he's referred to anywhere else. And in one respect, that is to his credit. He might have made verse 22 rather long. He might have thought, well, Paul has said all of this, but I'm going to add my two penneth. I'm going to share my opinion and what I think about the Apostle Paul, or what I think the church in Rome ought to know. In fact, we don't know anything about his views. He is a man who acknowledges that his role, his job, was simply to write down what Paul taught and to faithfully convey that onto paper, and trust the Holy Spirit to deliver it, through human means of course, to the congregation in Rome. I very much doubt that Tertius, who would have heard of Britannia, he'd been part of the empire maybe 12 years, I very much doubt he would have thought that that letter would one day be read out in misty Britannia. Nearly 2,000 years after he put that pen down. But the Holy Spirit used that man and his writing in a way which we are still benefiting from. He has a curious name, Tertius, very Roman. It means third. Chances are he was simply the third son. That doesn't suggest his parents were terribly imaginative when it came to their choice of names, but then the Romans weren't. There are about 20 names which the Romans used, which nearly everybody seemed to have. Names like Cornelius, we even get that one in Scripture. So Tertius was probably the third, not the first. He probably wasn't going to inherit most of the family wealth, if there was any to inherit, although he had an education. He wasn't even the second. He was the third. He might have been the last, or there may have been even more after him. I suspect they were. How did he become a believer? We're not told. Evidently, he has a connection to the church in Corinth, where I think this letter has been drafted. I assume he has a Greek or a Roman origin, but some people think maybe he was a Jew as well. But again, there's no evidence for this, and there are early church rumours and legends that he became bishop of such and such a place, like everybody else did. But what we do know is that he was third place. And yet we also get a glimpse into where we ought to be with Tertius. I asked you before who wrote the letter to the Romans, and you could have said Paul and been correct. You might have said Tertius if you were clever and been correct. But actually, the real author is the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul, who was inspiring Tertius, who in this book is now inspiring us. So we have God the Holy Spirit speaking to Paul, Paul speaking to Tertius. I can remember being taught even at Sunday school, the Lord comes first. Other people come second. And I come last. Now we live in a world in which self goes first. But if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, strength and soul, and you love your neighbour as yourself, you will always be Tertius. You'll always be third. And the cutting, thrusting world of which we are part says, you trample other people, you get there first, you push your way to the front. But our Saviour said, the first will be last. And the last will be first. The Holy Spirit inspired Paul, who then dictated to Tertius, and he faithfully recorded it. And if we remember that order, it will, I think, help us in our own Christian lives, that we put God first and other people second and then ourselves. And when we put ourselves last, we honour the Lord the most. I also like, though, the fact that Tertius was a scribe. Clearly, Paul did not dictate verse 22. That would defeat the object. And, you know, maybe one or two other people are kind of chipping in, for example, verse 23. But apart from that, we don't hear from Tertius in any of the preceding chapters. He doesn't offer commentary or a gloss. He faithfully records what Paul has said. Did he agree with all of it? I imagine so, but I don't know. Did he understand all of it? Probably not. It's a brave Christian who reads the book of Romans for the first time and thinks they've got it all sorted in their head. But Tertius faithfully recorded every word which Paul dictated. Even if he didn't understand it, even if he had questions, his job as that scribe, as that third man, was simply to record and patiently and obediently transmit. Again, is that not a picture of what we ought to do and what we ought to be? Everybody likes to share their opinion. Everybody likes to be heard. Everybody thinks that their view is somehow the correct one. And yet, I think we can continue to learn from what Martin Luther said, or allegedly said, at the Diet of Worms that he was captive to the Word of God. He didn't simply say, well, the Bible, the Word of God, is one source of authority, but my feelings are just as good, and church traditions are also good, and philosophy is quite good. No, no. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone. And if there is a conflict between my opinion on something and what God's Word teaches, the temptation will be to ignore God's Word. The temptation will be to try and squeeze God's Word into my mould, that it endorses me. No, no. If there is conflict between my opinion, my view, my position, and what God's Word teaches, it's not God's Word which gives way. It's me. Just as Tertius wrote whatever Paul said, so we are to base our theology, our views, our conduct upon God's Word. And I'm sure I don't need to give many examples, but so-called churches in our land have compromised on some very, very important issues which are clearly contrary to God's Word, because they want to be endorsed by the world, or they want to be seen as relevant, or whatever nonsense they use to try and justify it. That's not the Tertius approach to Christianity. In fact, it's not Christianity at all. To be a Christian is to submit to God and his revealed will. It means to take this precious book, this lively oracle, and be bound to it, to be subject to it, to yield to it. And the final point I make, in one respect, Tertius has kept a very low profile in this book. But for verse 22, we wouldn't know he had a part in it. We wouldn't know he existed. We'd find out one day in heaven, but we know now. And yet in verse 22, he allowed himself to make himself known. And I'm glad he did. I've not heard many sermons on just verse 22 of Romans 16. And yet bless him. Bless him. He wanted to put his name in there, not because he wanted to be famous. He didn't know that this would be considered a great work of literature, that it would be included in a book which became the bestseller ever. He didn't know that. He simply thought it was going to be sent to Rome, where perhaps a dozen or so house churches would take their turn in having it, reading it out, discussing it, and then passing it on. And then either Jesus would have come back, or that letter might have been lost. We know that Paul wrote other letters which have not survived. He certainly wasn't doing it to become famous. He was doing it because he wanted to have fellowship with his brethren in another country. I mean, what does he say? I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. We don't know if he's a Roman or he's a Greek, but he wants to greet fellow believers in the great city of Rome, because he understands there is a bond of fellowship, even though he may never have met them. To greet someone in the Lord is not just a kind of formula we trot out. Good morning in the Lord, good afternoon in the Lord. but rather it bespeaks the fellowship which is already there between real believers. If I meet somebody who I've never met before and I don't know what we have in common, we may have different political beliefs, we may have a different background, but if they've been saved by Jesus Christ and I've been saved by Jesus Christ, I've got more in common with that one than I have with my own biological family. And I think Tertius just wanted to share some fellowship with people he has never met and may never have done until the Lord called them home. He wasn't pushing himself forwards. He wasn't graffitiing the wall so people could read it in years to come. But rather, he wants to have fellowship with them. He's played to what he thinks is a very, very small part in his letter to Rome. And for having received all this great and rich theology, he just wants to say hi to his family. One man, one verse, with enough, I think, for us to think about. Amen.